I just got a note on my computer. Came in this morning. This might be important for you for 2019. Because it says, December 28th, 2019, the poles of the earth are going to shift. It's going to be a major shift happening, which is going to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. December 2018, 2019, I mean. December 28, 2019. So, there's a book out on it. I recommend you don't buy it. Because right after that, I got a notice that 2020, 2019 is preparing you for your breakthrough in 2020. So, don't buy that book either. It's amazing what comes out right now as the year changes. But as we prepare our hearts to read, to hear the word, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 2. And I want to read to you verses, I'm going to read verses 22 to 24 and verses 29 to 47. This is, you'll recall, Jesus had told the disciples, after he ascended, he said to the disciples, go and wait until you receive power from on high. And this is that moment when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, there were tongues of fire, and there's this amazing thing began to happen. And Peter begins to preach to the people. And he begins to explain what is going on. And I'm going to pick up the story. There's a lot in this, but I'm going to just pick up the story for this morning in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 24 and 29 to 47. And there we read, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. We're going to jump over to verse 29 now. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here with us today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life. And now underline this line, and we are all witnesses to the fact. I love that line. Exalted to the hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David has not ascended to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and all the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all who the Lord will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted this message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, there's a church growth program. They devoted themselves, and listen to this, they accepted his message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wondrous Wonders and miracles and signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Powerful passage of scripture, eh? But they heard the word. They were convicted by the truth. They repented. Then they were baptized. And then they were added to this amazing, supportive community. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you that you're here by your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, just continue to move among us. Just pour out in freshness. As we go forward in this new year, Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you would release a fresh anointing for a new season. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Help us to hear what you're saying to us. And let your word work in our hearts and produce everything you have intended it to produce. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Welcome to Grand Valley Christian Center, a community of believers. I love that. A community of believers that exists to know him and to make him known. And what an exciting way to start the new year with our first service being a baptismal service. Isn't that awesome? And it's awesome to me because I love baptismal services. I love when people stay, are making that commitment before the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a powerful, powerful event. But for us, it's also, for me, it's a prophetic prophetic picture of what God is doing in this new year, because it speaks of all things new. It speaks of new life. And I just think there's a really neat prophetic picture for us as we move forward into 2019. See, we've come to the end of 2018, and things come to an end, right? And even this morning with Chris moving on in the call of God in his life. And I'm excited for Chris as he steps forward in the call of God on your life. But you know what? At the same time, we here at GVCC are stepping into something fresh and something new. And I really sense that. Because we heard clearly in our elders meeting, our elders meeting last month, that God is pouring out new wine into a renewed container. And that container is you and it's me, as we are joined together in community. Community is going to be a huge word for us as we move forward, because we're called to be a community of believers that exists to know him and to make him known. You know, Rudy touched on this, and I want to touch on it again. Our world is in crisis. It's in an isolation crisis, and we are more electronically connected than we've ever been before, yet feeling more isolated. You know, I just came across a stat, and this is interesting, because the stat said that since the appearance of the iPhone, the suicide rate among young girls has gone up 77%, and among young men, 25%. I just read an article that links Facebook to depression. And in the article, it talked about those who were dealing with severe depression. If they got them off of Facebook, the symptoms of depression, if they didn't fully disappear, diminished pretty significantly. And that's just amazing. I wished I would have had some more on that article, because I'd like to study that out a little bit more. But there's this thing of isolation. You know, a few weeks ago, I received a call. Listen to this, I received a call from a vice president of a large hospital, And I bring that out. This is not an insignificant person. This person is like connected, right? But this person was in crisis. And here's the request I got over the phone. Please, I need help. Could you please talk to me? I have no one I can talk with. That shocked me. Because I know who this person is. A while ago, I had a young pastor in my office. And we were talking through different things. And as he was sitting with me, I was talking to him in reference to credentialing with Elam Canada and things like that. And I says, you know, how can we serve you? And this is what he said. The man is in his 30s. This is what he said. He says, I don't need you to provide me with good teaching. I can get all of that. You know, I can sit with Craig Rochelle in a live chat room, you know. I have access to major teachers and preachers. I don't need you to provide me with great teaching. What I need you to do is what we're doing right now. I just need somebody to talk to. Because I'm facing things in my life that I don't know how to deal with. My daughter is being bullied in school, and I don't know how to deal with it. She even wants to change her gender so that the bullying will stop. I need someone to talk to. And these aren't isolated incidents. They happen far too often. We're in an isolation crisis. But on the flip side, this kind of excites me. Because of what I hear in the Spirit, it's because God has uniquely raised up you and I. He's uniquely raised up Grand Valley Christian Center for such a time as this. And we need to understand that. Because he's called us to be a community of believers that exists to make him and make him known. God has raised up Grand Valley Christian Center in a unique time for this very issue. Because he's called us to be a community. We're a community of believers where sincere relationships are formed. Where people can experience the genuine love of Christ expressed through one another. That's what these calls were all about. Where can I find an environment where I have people to talk to? Where can I find an environment where people can speak life into me and encourage me? Where can I find a place where I can be connected and be real and deal with the real issues of life? Where can I find people who I can do life with together? And that's what God has called us to be, a community of people where real relationships, where sincere relationships can be formed, and genuine love, the love of Christ, be expressed through one another so that people can have a life-changing encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Father, just release that anointing on our lives so that we can walk more. I want to do that. How many want to be there this morning? I want us to, can we raise our hands? You know, Dunson prayed this morning. Can we open up ourselves to a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit that will work in us? Because he can do more in 30 seconds than I can do preaching in an hour. In aligning our hearts with his vision for us. Amen? So, okay, all across this room, if you're saying, I want to be part of that kind of community, what Rudy laid the foundation for last week and what I'm talking about this morning, I want us to raise our hands to the Lord for just a moment and say, Holy Spirit, come. You and our elders' meetings told us you were pouring out this new wine into renewed containers, us, as we walk together in community. Holy Spirit, come. And pour out a fresh anointing right now on us that we would be able to walk in the vision that you have set before us, especially in this season, Lord. And Father, that you would adjust us, that you would teach us, that you would work in us to be that kind of a community, Father. Shape us, Holy Spirit, pour that new wine, renew these containers so that we're willing to walk in that expression that you've called us to walk in for your name's sake, Father, so that people can come to know you and find authentic, sincere relationships because of you, Lord. Do it for Jesus' sake, we ask. And as people said, amen. They say, I receive that anointing this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I said last Sunday, Rudy laid the foundation for community, and I would encourage you, if you weren't here last Sunday, go to our website and listen to that. But like I said, I'm excited to start our first new year with our first service being a baptismal service. And, you know, here at GVCC, we do our baptism services together. And we do that because we are celebrating with those who are making a public declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ. And we get to do that together. And I'm excited about that. And those of us who have previously been baptized are reminded of our own baptism and our support of one another as we live out our faith personally, but within the context of community. And so that's exciting for me. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we see that baptism is for every single person who has accepted the message of the gospel. And then a person who becomes a Christian, a follower of Christ, who then chooses to be baptized, is testifying through their baptism that they believe in Jesus. They believe who he is, and they believe in what he has done. They have recognized that they are a sinner. They have admitted their need for a Savior, and they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And in surrendering their life to Jesus, this is cool, because in surrendering their lives to Jesus, they have responded to the invitation of Jesus to share in his mission, a mission that we all share together. And as I studied this thing of baptism, I see it's more powerful than I've even thought before, because not only do we recognize the new life that we have in Christ, but we begin to share in something together as well, because they've been invited, those who are being baptized have been invited to share in the mission of Jesus Christ as well. And we, a mission we all share together. And so this thing of baptism is really, it's an individual decision, but really has community implications as well, which I think is really cool, because we're in this thing together. We support one another together. We share in the mission of Jesus Christ together. We share in his purpose and his calling. In fact, we share in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ together. So baptism is also an act of obedient faith. And when the people heard the truth, they asked, what should we do? And Peter responds, repent and be baptized in accordance with the instruction of Jesus in Matthew 28. And when we repent and baptize, we consider ourselves now to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. You know, when Jesus hung on that cross, we're saying our sin, we recognize that our sin hung there with them. When we are baptized, we're telling the world and the devil, when Jesus died on the cross, I died there too. And my old sinful nature, my old sinful life has died with Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And now, the life I live by faith in Jesus, through which we gain access into this new place of amazing grace. And that's the truth Paul is bringing out in Romans chapter 6. Now that we're saved, and we're saved by grace through faith, he asks this question in chapter 6, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in verses 1 to 4, he asks this question. He says, now that we've accepted Jesus, we've been saved by grace through faith, not by works. He says, so now shall we continue in sin? And he says, no, Not a chance. Or don't you know, or don't you understand that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may too now live a new life. That's exciting, right? So as the person who's being baptized, in a moment they're going to stand at the edge of the water right there. So the person who's being baptized stands at the edge of the water. It's in a sense a symbol of the old life, as it was before Christ Jesus has come into that person's life. And everyone who's been baptized has stood at the edge of the water, realizing the decision that's been made. That decision is, I have chosen to give my life to Jesus, and I am prepared to enter into that new life in Christ. And I am affirming that commitment before God and his church. And then as they are lowered into the water, it's for an undetermined period of time. Just thought those of you who are being baptized would like to know that. Rudy and I were talking, and we thought a good period of time would be when the bubbles stop, but just kidding. But as they're being lowered into the water, it's a symbol of death, being baptized into Christ's death on the cross. And they are identifying with Christ's death on the cross for their sin in the same way they die to sin. And it's a symbol of dying to self, of dying to the old, dying to sin, dying to the old self, dying to the old way of life. And when they are under the water, it's a symbol of that burial. Not only have they died to the old way of life, the old way of life is dead and buried. As it says in Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. The old man is dead. I've died to self. I've died to sin. I've died to that whole old life. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead into a resurrected life, the person being baptized at an undisclosed period of time will, I'm sorry, I just got to have fun with that. The person being raised out of the water, that symbolizes the new life, the resurrected new life in Jesus Christ. They're dead, buried, now they come up, and it symbolizes the new life they have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that the coming out, the new life, no longer, and I love this, no longer a slave to sin, free from being driven by its desires, free to live a committed life to Jesus Christ, free to live in his love, free to express his love, free to live in God's purpose and fulfill his purposes, free to live in God's ways and walk in his ways, free to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. I am dead to the old. I am alive to the new. Amen. Free to be filled and to express his love. Now God's love flows through me. As Paul, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:11, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, for me, baptism is more than a symbol, however, because I have experienced so many times when the truth that Peter says, repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it so many times as people come out of the water, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to walk in this new life by his Holy Spirit. Amen. So although there is the symbolism behind it all, there is also something very spiritually powerful what happens as we go through those waters of baptism. Romans chapter 6, 8 to 11 says this. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died, He died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now life is lived out of an open, loving relationship with a God, with a Father who dearly loves us. You know, Jesus is not a theory, and God is not a set of principles or rules. We are baptized into the new life of a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. To be alive to God is to be open and receptive to all that God intends for your life now, to allow His love and life now to flow through you and to touch others. Baptism, as I said earlier, although an individual decision and act, it unites us all together in the death, in the resurrection, in the new life of Christ, characterized by love. Amen? That's a powerful statement. I want us, I don't have time to open it up today, but I want us to really hear this. You know, baptism, although it's an individual act and an individual decision, it unites us. See, so often in our Christianity, we grow up and we're taught this is an individual decision, it is an individual Savior, it is a personal walk. And we forget the fact that He has united us all together. And it is personal. And it is individual. But when we are baptized, the baptism, although it's individual, it unites us all with Jesus' death, with His resurrection, and with His new life. And that new life is characterized by love. And so we're united in this wonderful new place. And that's why 3,000 were added. And that's why I read the rest, because they were added into this wonderful new community of God, characterized by love and care. As I said in Acts chapter 2, people heard the word, they were convicted, they repented, they believed, accepted the truth of Jesus is, and about 3,000 of them were added. They were added to a supportive community of believers. And that's important for us to hear, because we have a responsibility in this as well, because we have some people that are being baptized, Mark and Jessica, and they're going to come up in a minute, but they're being added, and it's to this supportive community, and so we have a responsibility as well to support them, because they're being added to a supportive community where they can grow and develop. And so, like I said, we do our baptisms together, because it reminds us, those of us who have been previously baptized, of our own baptism and our support of each other as we live out our faith personally, but within the context of community. See, Christ never intended that we live our Christian faith in isolation, but rather in a community of believers where there is love, where there is guidance, where there is support, where there is a place to grow into maturity of Christ and walk in the fullness that He has. Amen? So this morning, we're going to witness two people who have made the decision to go through the waters of baptism, and we're going to love them and support them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to get myself ready, and I'm going to pass the microphone over to Pastor Dunstan.
I'm just going to invite Jessica first, Jessica Frail, and she has a little bit of a testimony that she's going to just share with us.
I was baptized as a child. I believe I was about 7. But looking back, I'm not surely sure I understood the commitment, or that there was one. There's this song I listened to that a friend showed me. Chris showed me, actually. It's by Micah Tyler, and it's called Different. The song has really spoken to me. The singer says that he wants God to come and be different in him so that he can be different, so that he can be changed, because he understands that God won't always change the things around him or around us, but that he could change how he sees things or how we see things. And so I ask you, God, to come and be different in me, because I want to be different too. I want to be changed. So let me be baptized. Amen.
Thanks, Jessica.
First and foremost, praise the Lord. I was saved when I was younger, but I have spent a lot of time living my life for myself. So now I want to show everyone that my life has changed and I am putting God first and living for Him, burying the old and bringing out the new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mark.